frustrate God's Holy Spirit, I'm going to preach what I believe he tells me to preach. Because in the Word of God, I found an answer. Let's bow our heads. Merciful God, in the name of Jesus, thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for this privilege. I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord God, for this time that you would use me to preach thy word. You said to do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist to me is someone that preaches and teaches the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, as the psalmist said, I love to tell the story of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. And even those that are saved seem hungering and thirsting, as others may do. So, Lord God, the tenets that I like to say, but I'll pray them now before I preach. Because first of all, Lord God, even as it is written in thy word, I know this, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, because the scripture came not of old by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So even as I preach now, Lord God, is not as I will, but as thou wilt. And also, Lord God, you commanded this. You said this, and it must be done. First of all, like John the Baptist said, talking about myself, you must increase and I must decrease. These people may have came here knowing this to hear my voice. But I know that they did not come to hear me. And if they had, I would tell them they came to the wrong place at the wrong time. Because we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. And in following thy commandment, what I'd like to do now is preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Bind, rebuke, reproof. Because the scripture came, well, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, Lord God, I want to answer this question tonight as thou hast laid it on my heart. And it starts with a single word, what? So fill me with thy spirit, not only me, Lord God, but fill each and every one of these with thy spirit, that as I preach thy word, I would speak as I move by the Holy Spirit, but they would receive what your Holy Spirit would have them to receive. And then the mission, the work, your word will be preached and taught and would be done. In Jesus' name I ask and we pray these things. Amen. You know, sometimes I get excited. When I'm called to preach, I don't know how I'm going to preach, if I'm going to be calm or I'm going to be excited. But you know something, I would like to hold up my Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. And any time that we have the privilege and the opportunity, the exciting thing about this book And it is a book in that it has pages, it has bindings, and this type of thing is 66 books altogether. But there's no other books, and there's a lot of good ones, but there's no other book that convert a man from death unto life. Eternity, your eternal soul, lies in the pages of this book. Your very salvation, that question is going to be answered for you tonight. Now, I'll speak for about myself, and nobody can get angry with me, but if this applies to you, and I don't want you to answer that out loud, but if this applies to you, then this is your night. I can't tell any of you if you are saved or not. The Word of God says, man looks on the outward appearance. Just by you being here, wanting to hear the Word of God preached and taught, I would assume that all of us are saved. But the Lord looks on the heart. That's on the inside. Now, I don't know about you, but before I got saved, I didn't know that I wasn't saved. Can you understand that? When the gospel was preached to me, I was in the military, in the army, on a bus with a woman named Dolores in Germany. When the gospel was preached to me, I thought that I was okay with God. Oh, I knew I sinned. I knew I did some bad things. But I figured, like my dad said when he got saved, if God would weigh the good things that I've done with the bad things that I've done, the good things would outweigh the bad things, and I would be found favor with God. The person that I was with, I had evil thoughts about. And I thought that she just wanted to get me in church with her. I ended up telling her that I would not go to church with her. I didn't see the necessity of it. I didn't want to be another tick mark in her book of maybe names that she had got into her Baptist church. So I told her this. And she said, it's okay. Just listen to what I have to tell you. And she went in her purse and pulled out this little New Testament. And if I'm remembering this right, I'm telling her, hold it, hold it, hold it. You don't have any idea, do you, why I would sit next to you on the bus? Why I'm attracted to you? And she said, I let you speak. Can I speak to you now? Okay. But what I'm thinking is sick. And she said, can I show you something from the Word of God? And I said, yeah. And she showed me where Jesus Christ was speaking. And he said these words, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Is he talking about me? Is he talking about me? Let me see that, I said. Because what I just thought, with what I just said, that applies. I said, what I've been thinking is sick. And she said, here it is in the Word of God. I said, okay, but you have to admit that my intentions were not right. There's something there in your little New Testament that addresses that. She smiled. I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'm serious as a heart attack here. There's nothing funny. But she still smiled. And she says, can I show you something else in the Word of God? I said, yep, Jesus was speaking. Now remember I said, what I'm thinking towards you is not right. She showed me in the Bible where Jesus said, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's a question that's being asked in the book of Acts, chapter 16. I've preached some on this in this very church before, but God's laid it on my heart. Because see, I had got saved on that bus with this woman named Dolores over 40 years ago. God says in his word, and you may have read it, or you may have known it, you may have practiced it, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what God said. Over that 40 years, I've drawn near to God, he's drawn near to me, I've studied the word of God, I've preached the word of God, I've taught the word of God, I've lived the word of God, but I've never been holy. Like I said, I'll speak about myself. I see where people in the Bible, I've always wished that if God would write another Bible, that he would include me in it, but I ask why. Why would he include me in it? I use the words of the Apostle Paul. I said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And God answered me. It was not in a voice, but it was from his word. Remember I said where he said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But I've sat in church, different churches in Germany, over here in the United States, in different states, in the military. And I've had some thoughts, even while praying, that were not right before God. I've had some thoughts. See, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Heart can be synonymous in the Bible with the mind, where everything originates. See, in my moments of fear, through every pain, and through every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. I've thought some vile, sick things, and I've asked God, if I can have these thoughts, especially, well, at home, but especially in church, sometimes while praying, can I truly be saved? Can a Christian have these kind of thoughts? Can a Christian have these kind of words? Can a Christian do such things? Yeah, what I'm saying is, I've doubted my own salvation. So comes the most important question that's in the whole Bible. You don't have to answer this out loud, but depending on how you answer this question, your whole eternity lies with that. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, let's start in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They were in prison for preaching the word of God, for doing right things. But that's not really the teaching here. That's not the point. But when we read this, we can see, obviously, that Paul and Silas were what we would call saved. There's many examples in the Old Testament. There's many examples in the New Testament. That's why these people, some of them were included in the Bible. Because they were saved. God's word says this, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. You know who my first counselor is? Adam. In the Garden of Eden. There's so many riches that's there. But I'll sum it up by saying this. In the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 12, the word of God says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But there's been times I didn't rightfully divide the word of truth. I use that to say it's okay to sin. Because Jesus paid it all. And he did. There's books in the Bible, like some things you'll read in the book of Hebrews, that will give you assurance and the way of being saved. There's things in the book of Hebrews, and when you take the word of God for what he's saying to the Hebrews, and in essence to us today, will make you think that you're either not saved, or you can lose your salvation. And there's other spots in other books. So I'd get confused. But my Bible also says that God is not the author of confusion. So let's read. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, see, he was neglecting his duty. But they were all chained, they were in stocks, they were locked up, the gates were closed. And up to this point, there was no way that anybody could get out. They were probably in stench. They were in the dark. They were suffering. They were in pain. But Paul and Silas sang praises because they believed. Remember that. Because they believed. And because they wanted to comfort themselves and comfort the others. But it says in verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. In other words, rather than suffer that shame. See, back then you had to answer directly, in his case, to the king. And if one prisoner escaped and he knew he neglected his duty, he thought they all had escaped. But if one prisoner escaped, then I'm sure the king was going to say, off with his head. So rather than suffer that shame and go into capital punishment, he said, I'll end it right now. I'll do it myself. It says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He knew what he was getting ready to do. He knew that his life, he knew that his career, he knew that any pride he had, he knew that his name was over. In disgrace and vile and in disgust and in neglect. But when Paul and Silas, men of God, said, do thyself no harm, he brought them out and said, sirs. He didn't say prisoners, he spoke to them with respect. What? He said, what must I do to be saved? Now there's Old Testament, there's New Testament, there's hundreds of examples of men of God, women of God, children of God, people of God, that obviously they were included in the Bible, that they were saved. Look at Job. But you are not saved. You are not saved because of your mother. You are not saved because of your father or your grandparents. You are not saved because of your pastor. You are not saved because of anybody. You have to ask this question. What must not David do? What must Samuel do? What must Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do? What must I do? What must I do? What must I do to be saved? I'm going to say something that will sound stupid to you. Do you know that God is real? Do you know that he hears me, that he hears you right now? And you might say, well, how can he hear me? I'm not saying anything. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So what must I do? See, that's all I want to ask God. See, I have these fightings and these fears within and without. What must I do to be saved? And it can be contained in just one word. Believe. Believe, believe. And it's not as easy as it sounds. But see, at least in English, I wrote down some synonyms. Words that mean the synonyms is the word I'm looking for. Words that mean believe. One of the words is trust. Do you trust your husband? Do you trust your wife? Do you trust your car when it goes down the road that the wheels are not going to fall off and you're going to be in a tragic accident. Sometimes we don't realize it, but we believe our wheels are not going to fall off. We believe our husband or our wives, our spouse, loves us, and they put us first. So see, that's a word that's synonymous. Another word is faith. They go hand in hand. They're synonymous. Believe, faith, believe, faith. You know what the Bible says? So then faith cometh by hearing. You got to hear something to have faith. And hearing by the word of God. Now I'm going to add that word belief in there, but you're going to see as far as the meaning, it doesn't change. So then faith cometh by believing. Believing in the word of God. See, this is why I don't approve of any other Bibles. Because the Bible says, all the way back in the book of Psalms, every word of God is pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven is one of the numbers God's, is a number in the Bible of God's completion. Needs nothing else added to it. It needs nothing else taken from it. And the third word that I want to add to describe the word believe is hope. You realize in this life we're going to have trouble? The Bible uses the word tribulation. But it says in Philippians, tribulation worketh patience. We need to wait because the Bible says, he that endureth till the end, the same shall be saved. Patience, experience. We need to do something while we're waiting on an answer. I know one thing we need to do amongst the many things. Pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean to pray nonstop, but what God's word says, ye have not because ye ask not. And even if you ask enough, you ask not in faith, not believing. But that verse says, tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. And here's a wonderful thing about hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. See, I hope that I'm saved. In spite of myself, in spite of my thoughts, in spite of my sins. Because my hope lies in Jesus Christ. You know what I'm going to do? I know whom I have believed. Notice I said whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that not me, but that he is able to keep that I've committed unto him against that day. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved. It's not only God's love, but it's his so love. That means that God loved you so much. And we're going to see that verse in John chapter 3 in just a moment. And it'll be explained to you. For by grace are ye saved. See, we keep on saying, what I need to do, what I need to do, what I need to do. And even after we get saved, what do I need to do? What do I need to keep doing in this type of thing? Jesus, Jesus Cristo paid it all. It's all to him we owe. In the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 5, the word of God says, but to him that worketh not, doesn't mean we don't do anything to get saved. But you can't work for your salvation. I just said, Jesus paid it all. But that verse says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth. On him that justifieth the ungodly, to him it is counted for righteousness. You know what Jesus said? John chapter 14, verse 1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. It's kind of like saying, don't get confused. Don't get upset. Don't worry about what you've done, what you're doing, and what you did. I'm putting it in my own words, and I'll say the scripture as it is written. But he said, you only need to do two things to secure your salvation. You only need to do two things to secure your salvation. Okay, Jesus Christ, are the two things that I need to do to secure my salvation? He said, number one, believe in God. I can tell you something about all of you. You wouldn't be here right now if you didn't believe in God. Okay, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What else do I need to do? The second thing you need to do, out of the two things that you need to do, he said, believe also in me. Jesus said that. That verse in John chapter 14, verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You might want to ask, okay, Lord Jesus, like if you didn't know, I do this all the time. I said, but Lord, to get the answer, I know the answer, but to get the answer again, what or why should I believe also in you? All the way down to John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, because a man named Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Kind of like saying, what must I do to be saved? Jesus said unto him, and Jesus saying unto you now, and I'm quoting scripture. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Jesus paid it all. That's why I put an emphasis. Jesus, Cristo, Jesus. That's what the whole Bible is about. Noah and his sons and their daughters and two of every animal were saved. Now, it's a true statement to say that they were saved by the ark. That ark was a symbol of Jesus Christ. Jesus wasn't in Noah's ark. He was the ark. When we do what the Word of God says, as Noah did, then we will be saved just like Noah was. Not of yourselves, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That is not of yourselves. You know something? I am so glad that I couldn't do nothing to get saved. You know, I am so glad that I didn't have to do anything to maintain my salvation, because I'm going to tell you now, I would have messed it up. I wouldn't have first got saved, and even if I would have got saved, I would have messed it up 5 minutes after I got it. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 15. If your Bible is a red letter edition, it's in red letters. That meaning these are direct quotes from the Lord Jesus Christ, but even if not, it's still the Word of God. John chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus is speaking, and he says, that whosoever, you might say, hold it. You want to preach that, but you don't know me. You don't know my words. I don't even speak your language. But you don't know my words. You don't know my thoughts. You don't know my doings. We have that saying, you don't know what skeletons I got in the closet. You don't know what I look at on the internet. You don't know what I think. You don't know what I say. You don't know my past. I'd ask you who? Who? I'm talking about me. I would tell you, so? Look at what it says in John chapter 3, verse 15. That who so ever believeth. You know, salvation is so simple from the Word of God. Why do we seem to want to complicate it? We'll say that person, look at them. They did such and such and such and such and such and such. They can't be saved. But the Bible says in the book of Romans, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. See, God didn't have his son to die on the cross at Calvary because he was bored and he didn't have nothing to do that day. I'm going to show you why. Right here in John chapter 3, that God did that. In verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him, who? Jesus, should not perish. Perish in a place called hell. But have. He didn't say had. And lost it. He didn't say one day would have. He said, but have eternal or everlasting life. Here's why. For God loved the world. Isn't that a simple statement? But that's not what my King James Bible said. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave. See, I used to read that real fast, kind of like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that who's... Remember one time me and Sergio were talking about that. The Bible is not meant to be read over kind of fast. We have to realize, as I said in the beginning, it's the Word of God. He says, be still, for I am God. It says here, for God so loved the world that he gave. People think he gave us good health. People think he gave us a lot of money. People even think he gave us houses. People even think he gave us cars. Husbands, wives, children. And he does give those things. But that, without this, you have nothing. What must I do to be saved? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus, we sing a song, Christ is all I need. Jesus, that he gave his only begotten son, that who? That man over there is sick. That woman over there is a prostitute and a harlot. So? How can you say so to that? It says here that whosoever believeth, if that man or that woman believes in Jesus Christ, that believeth in him should not perish. Doesn't say could not perish. You know why he said should not perish? Because everybody's not going to believe. It says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, dwelleth in God and God in him. Verse 17 in John chapter 3. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. You say, but yeah, I feel condemned, and you just call God a liar. Because right here it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I believe in Jesus, but why do you think I love to shout, Jesus? Because that's his name. And we just read it here. In the book of the same book of John, chapter 1, verse 12, the word of God says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's why you won't hear me say it kind of like, I got that power. Now, I'm not saying you have to say it the way I do, but I got that power. I say, Jesus Cristo Jesus. I want people to know, because there's none other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. Look in verse 36 of John chapter 3. We're getting ready to close. He that believeth. He that believeth, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I'm going to Luke chapter 23, verse 39. Luke 23:39. And one of the malefactors, that's one of the criminals that was on each side when Jesus was crucified. They were being crucified also. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ. He didn't say Jesus. He didn't say Cristo. He didn't say Jesus. He said, like, if thou be Jesus. If thou, see, he didn't believe. He heard just like the other thief on the cross. He heard like everybody else did. He heard what wasn't a Bible then, but he hear like you're hearing now, like you've heard in the past, like we hear today. But he said, if, look at what it says. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He doubted. God's word says, to him that doubteth, to him it is sin. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. But he did do one thing. He died for you, and he died for me. And he said unto Jesus, Lord. See, he believed. That's why he called him Lord. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Call that a prayer. 9 words. So all he said was 9 words. See, short prayers are important. Pray without ceasing. And Jesus said unto him, when he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, that word means truly, I say unto thee, and here's 9 words that Jesus answered him with. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Because he believed. Let's go back to the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. Let's start in verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in. And came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe, trust, faith, hope. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice they didn't say believe in yourself. They didn't say believe in your pastor. They didn't say believe in your religion. They didn't even say believe in your Bible, even though the Bible is the word. They said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou probably going to get saved sooner or later. No, the Bible didn't say that. believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. You might be saying, Brother Leon, sinner saved by grace. It seems like you're harping on the word believe. No, I'm not. I'm preaching the word of God to you. Here's what Paul said about God's earthly chosen people. God calls them the children of the kingdom. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant, that means ignoring of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. There's that word again. So the question is, do you believe? Look at verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. See, I could sit here all day and say, Jesus. But that sitting alone by itself doesn't mean a thing. Man, Brother Leon, the way you say that, it must mean something. That by itself don't mean a thing. Look what God says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, okay, I'm doing that, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, it's not just that I say, Jesus, but why am I saying it? Do I believe? Now, people have told me, way you shout Jesus, man, I mean, even God pays attention. And I thank them for that, and I love that. In part, it's the reason that I do it. But God could care less if I don't mean it. The question is, not that I got this voice and I can shout Jesus, but why am I shouting Jesus? I could be saying, Leah! Or Pastor Kewitt. Or your name. Man, woman, or child. Sergio. But what does it mean? Why am I shouting that? It's because Jesus is the Son of God, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. In my life verse, and I close with that, is verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't let anybody or anything, the devil can use the word of God to confuse you. Keep it like God said it. Keep it plain and simple. What must I do to be saved? Saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. Thank you for allowing me to preach the word of God to you. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I do thank you for this privilege and this opportunity in this time. I keep saying I'm going to keep it short, but what more can I say than to you, he has said. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to uplift, to glorify, and to magnify thy precious name, because thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thank you for making salvation so simple. All to Jesus I surrender. We sang tonight, have thine own way. Thou art the potter and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.